Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, broadcasting live from Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 24th, 2010, episode 18, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn. Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes sweeping down the plain. Good morning, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Oh, we've got a team of snow-white horses.
One's like snow, the other's more like milk. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Good morning, Oklahoma.
I can't believe you had that. You are so sneaky.
Yeah, we had that plan since yesterday. We thought we'd surprise you with it. And then you started singing Oklahoma. It was like, oh, this is perfect.
I just had to. You know, I love that musical. I love that. And me being here has nothing to do with the fact that I know, like, almost every word to the songs. I was actually a star in Oklahoma, the play, when
you
I was
were?
13 years old. Well, I had one entire line in the whole play, so I don't know if star would be the right word, but I had a line, okay? It was a big deal. It was at church. I was in the church play.
I got to say, you and I, we've only known each other for a couple months now, and I was absolutely shocked that you knew any of the words to Oklahoma at all, and then I found out that you were a real fan of music.
I love musicals. I'm sorry, my favorite TV show of the day right now since Lost is over is Glee. Hello, Glee is like the best show ever. Rachel is so talented. And I mean, come on, is she going to be with Finn or is she going to, what's the deal? Who's going to end up with who? Mr. Schuster, I mean, really, is his wife back or what? I mean, she faked a pregnancy. Hello.
We're going to have to do that some morning on the show. Write this down, Jennifer. We're going to have to do a show where people just call in and tell us what their favorite TV shows are, and we'll find out what the horse world listens to. We're going to have to do that one day. That'll be fun. I got to say that I'm not a musical fan. As a matter of fact, they bore me to tears. Jennifer is. I got those Oklahoma cuts off of her Oklahoma CD, which she plays very loud in the car.
Really loud.
Jennifer, maybe you can sing with me my favorite song from Oklahoma, the musical. Do you know which one I might be thinking of?
Are you going to talk about Poor Johnny's Dead?
No. Poor Judge's Dead. We'll do that one. But I like the one that goes, I'm just a girl who can't say no.
Oh, yeah.
Can't seem to say it at all. I'm always saying, come on, let's go. Anyway, I love that one. It ain't so much a question of not knowing what to do.
Is that the one?
Yeah. Talks about kissing a boy and then it's too late.
Yes. When a fella tries to kiss a girl, you know she ought to give his face a smack. But as soon as someone kisses me, I somehow sort of want to kiss him back.
Yep.
You do know all the words.
Every fella's true.
Hello. I was like, I practiced that thing. I mean, I didn't sing that part, but I watched everybody practice their lines all the time.
That's hilarious.
Good morning, horse world, and welcome to the day before Thanksgiving when we're a little punchy. I'll tell you what. We'll announce the winner from yesterday shortly of that terrific carrot jacket, cargo jacket. We'll be announcing the winner shortly. And a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We will be here today taking your calls at 347-637-3238. Tomorrow, we recorded a very special show for you. You have to listen to tomorrow's show at some point during the day. If not live at 9 o'clock, listen later in the day. It is an absolutely wonderful show that we recorded with Marianne Kennedy with some of the most special horse music that you've ever heard. And I think I can honestly say that we had, I think it was one of my favorite shows we've done to date. Don't you agree, Jamie? It was just spectacular.
Oh, certainly. To have her on and to play her music, if you don't know, Marianne Kennedy is an amazing singer-songwriter with an extensive history in Nashville. So I was thrilled to talk to her and talk to her about her music, but she has combined her career in Nashville to support her passion for horses. And she's written so many cool songs for horse people, about horse people. It is just awesome to hear her take on things. So definitely listen to tomorrow's show.
Yeah, it was, and you know, it was funny too. She was just so much fun, and we had a great time. It was, her songs are, you know, some of them are fun, some are more serious. But it was just a great time.
Oh, she made me cry. Hello.
I know. She had us both crying. Happy Thanksgiving also to everybody out there, including our troops around the world. You know, there's hot spots all over the place now in the world. We have wars still going on. We don't want to forget about the troops that are still out there on the front lines. And also, you know, Korea was heating up yesterday, and we certainly don't want to see that escalate. And so a happy Thanksgiving to all the troops who are deployed and at home and away from their families. Our best to you. Happy Thanksgiving to Chad, your husband, who I think you said is going out of town for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he leaves next week. He's going to Pakistan for a couple weeks. Fortunately, it's not one of the long six-month things, but you mentioned Korea. And Chad spent almost 2 years at that base right at the border of North Korea and South Korea. And the news broke yesterday while we were touring, you know, his college town in downtown Oklahoma. And, you know, you walk by one of the, pubs, and they've got it on TV. And so he was glued to the window. We went in, saw the whole thing. And being that is exactly where he stayed and where he trained every day, he said he spent every day for those 2 years training for what happened yesterday. And he, of course, you know, my thing is, oh, God, thank God he's not there. And he's like, I wish I was there right now. I want to go so bad. That's the mentality of our soldiers and of the guys that put their lives on the line every day. And there's so many of them that don't get to be with their families, and so many of them that, you know, haven't been home in quite some time. And our heart goes out to them, and happy Thanksgiving to them, and especially to the people that are left behind without them. And it's just got to be really, really tough. So happy Thanksgiving to all you guys. Hopefully you'll be listening somehow. We'll get it connected for you there. But it's going to be a great show today. I'm really excited about today's show. Jen, why don't you tell us what's coming up, because it's very exciting.
Well, today we've got Blog It with Jackie Baker, who is here with her latest and greatest in the blogosphere. Always a fun and interesting little segment that we do. Debbie from Net Posse will be here with some great information about horse theft as well as horse recovery. Most successful tips, I think, is what we're going to call that. And also the Horse Health Report will be here, as it is every Wednesday, and we will be covering some great winter horse health and horse management topics, And I'm sure there will be the usual really fun and interesting stories from those surveys that thehorse.com does, and they always get some really cool answers. And, of course, we're going to be taking your calls, and don't be afraid to call in. If you're worried that you're going to get stuck on hold and not hear the show while you're waiting to get on the air, not to worry. You hear it right through your telephone, so you won't miss a minute. And Glenn and Jamie don't fight.
I guess it depends what day of the week it is. We do encourage your calls. We want to hear from you. And I know what a lot of you are waiting for. Thank you all. What a tremendous feedback we had on Facebook yesterday. I think that's more feedback than we've had for any of the shows we've done over the last 2 years. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything you posted there. And there's already posts popping up there this morning. Jackie writes in, sorry, Glenn, you're the odd man out. I love musicals. I love Glee, and I was on Eller once upon a time. Then Deanna writes in and says, musicals are the bomb. I know most words, and my family hates it when I sing along. So apparently I am the odd man out there. But we had so many posts yesterday that what we had to do is put it in a hat and draw a name, and that's how we came up with the winner of the Carrots cargo jacket worth $200. And the winner of that jacket was Lisa Bike, I think it is, B-Y-K, from Chile, East Lansing, Michigan. So congratulations, Lisa. Hey, if you want, give us a call. We'd be happy to hear from you. Call in this morning, and we'll chat with you for a little bit. Thank you so much for being a fan of the show and for posting. And if you want to follow the conversation, there's actually a conversation that goes on now during the shows from 9 to 10:30 Eastern right on our Facebook page. Just hop on over, search for Horses in the Morning, and chat away. You're more than welcome, and we try and bring as much of the Facebook chat to you as we can during the show as well. Well, today's prize, Jamie's going to tell you about that.
This is absolutely amazing, and it doesn't matter if you live in hot weather or cold weather. This is going to benefit you because it's a complete gift pack from Technique. And what Technique is, it's the world's leading manufacturer of cooling and warming products. So they're going to include in this prize pack a Hypercool evaporative cooling vest and a neckband, and then for the winter, a Thermafair air-activated heating scarf. And that's a lot of big words, but what it basically means is this vest will keep you cool. You submerge it in water for like 5 to 10 minutes, and you put it on, and it evaporates the water on your body for like 5 to 10 hours. It keeps you cool. I know you don't think putting a vest on in the cool weather, but it's really, really nice. And then the neckband obviously keeps you cool. And then an air-activated heating scarf. Unbelievable how this stuff works. So we'll post the link to that up on our homepage as well on horsesinthemorning.com so you can check it out and see exactly what this is and see the website. They do stuff for pets, horses, the military. They do stuff for everybody. And it's, again, a prize pack from Technique Incorporated.
Terrific. And, of course, you can anybody that calls in during the month of November is qualified to win one of two grand prizes for the month. We're going to give them both away. A $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections at equestriancollections.com. And Equestrian Collections, this, Jamie, is new. As of yesterday, they just offered listeners of the Horse Radio Network a coupon to help in your holiday shopping. You will get $10 off your next order of $120 or more just by using the coupon code Horse Radio at checkout. Well, let me double check that. Come to think about it, I may have messed that up, and I will double check that right now. Hold on, everybody. I know you're anticipating.
Okay.
It's radio show. I am sorry. You use the code radio. I knew it was something like that. You use the code radio show at checkout. That's radio show, all one word, at checkout for $10 off your next order of $120 or more at equestriancollections.com. And we'll also be giving away your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600 that was kindly donated by World Equestrian Brands. And Vespucci bridles are the top line bridles in the horse world. So you're going to want to win one of those too. So give us a call at 347-637-3238. And we do have a caller on the line that I recognize. And I will say, hi, Alan, and welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Glenn. How are you today?
We're great. Now, Alan, for everybody that doesn't know, Alan Moorhead is the co-host of the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network. He does a terrific job over there. He's the one with the voice. He has the voice. He's an announcer at rodeos across the country. People love to listen to Alan. Did I embarrass you enough yet?
And a good morning to Jamie, too. I forgot to say good morning, Jamie.
Yeah, it's okay.
You got to keep the females happy, you know.
See, Eddie's a flirt. That's the other thing about Alan.
Alan, I know one thing, though. I want to see Glenn in one of those air-activated, heated scarves. He just looks like a scarf kind of guy, don't you know? even without the air activation, just a heated scarf or just some kind of scarf. He looks kind of like the Snoopy and Red Baron kind. I can see the little thing flapping behind him on his horse. That'd be cool. Scarf
okay,
man.
Okay, nice talking to you, Alan. Bye.
Alan, he sits on a doghouse most of the time anyway because he's usually in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, shoot. There's no guy worth his salt that doesn't have a doghouse somewhere to go to.
Hey, Alan, I wanted you to call in today because you did a very special show over at the Western Radio Show for Thanksgiving. You titled it Thanksgiving Every Day.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that show and why I think that everybody should listen to that for Thanksgiving.
Well, it's the kind of a thing, and we've got a couple of hosts on there who have had some life experiences that would be basically life-changing experiences. And through their stories, you can just hear and tell and kind of sits back and makes you think about life every day. And why there's more to be thankful for than just a life-changing experience. While one lady we have on there is a WPRA world champion roper, Dolly Lauderette, and her daughter has been to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo 3 times in the barrel racing. She was diagnosed in 2005 with a mouth cancer and had to have the roof of her mouth removed. And I mean, to me, it didn't affect her looks at all. She's got a beautiful smile about her. And it was just a few years later that from the chemo, she had to take like 33 treatments of chemo and some radiation. And, you know, they told her that there may be some side effects. 2009, she had a tumor come up on her brain and had to have that removed. And the heart and character of Dolly Lauderette and just a champion, within a month of having that tumor removed from her brain, she was at the Women's World Finals Rodeo roping with her daughter back in competition on a horse. And, I mean, that's just the spirit of a champion. And, I mean, you know, it's people who have gone through that have a reason within their own life to be thankful every day and have Thanksgiving every day within their heart. But we all have reasons for that, even without that kind of thing in your life. Like another guest that we have on there, Troy Oakley. This fella has been an AQHA world champion. He's won at the Congress, and he has raised and reared and trained the son that has been to the AQHA World Show in Congress as well, O'Tate Oakley, and he had, at a relatively young age, and I'm not really, Troy's about my age, and I'm the big 5-0, if you can believe that. Holy cow. I'm almost as old as Glenn, but I'm going to catch up to him.
I think you have me beat by a couple years there, Alan.
Are you kidding?
No. No.
I'm actually 43 then. Just
nice.
I can change. I'm going, you know. But Troy had, and you know, in his mind, he'd been healthy forever and ever, and kind of did like a lot of we cowboys that do, and you forget about going to the doctor, and he'll tell you within the story that we have on westernradioshow.com that it was 27 some odd years since the last time he went to a doctor, and he had gotten back from a 10-day long horse show and was having some chest pains, called a doctor, thought he was having a heart attack, and well, when he got to the emergency room and they started checking him out, he had a disease within his heart and that area that the cardiologist looked at, and they had the airlifting that he was diagnosed with an aortic aneurysm. And this is the same heart disease that killed John Ritter, a famous actor and son of Tex Ritter, one of our Western icons. And come to find out after he had had a surgery to fix it all, that only 3% of patients that are diagnosed and have this and then have that surgery survive the deal. And to be 1% to 3%, that surely gives him something to be thankful for every day when he opens his eyes and takes a breath and, you know, has that day with a new life. And again, it's just one of those things that you take it for granted. Even beyond that, before you get in that situation, you should be thankful for everything we have every day, the sun, the sky, the birds, the bees. You know, it's just like the six-year-old on his knees saying his prayer before he goes to bed. Thank you for, you know, the grass and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, thanks for the horses. And I heard Jamie talking about thanking and being thankful for those who are overseas. They wear the uniform with the patch of the United States flag on their sleeve as our defenders and our preservers of freedom, the men and women of the armed services. God, we just owe them such a huge debt of gratitude for what they do to keep us free. And there's just something to be thankful for every day, no matter what the situation is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, everybody can listen to that show. Just go to westernradioshow.com. It's up there now. You guys do a terrific job over there. I am thankful for all the hosts that host the various shows here on the Horse Radio Network. I could not ask for a better group. Everybody does such a terrific job, and the Western Radio Show is growing every day. You and Tammy are kicking butt over there. Happy Thanksgiving, Alan, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, and happy Thanksgiving to you, and we're thankful that you put up with all of our nonsense.
Have a good one, Alan.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
Bye.
Doesn't he have a great voice?
Oh, yes. It's like butter.
I know. And, you know, I did, as you know, I follow Facebook here, and it appears that we are breaking up a little, or our sound is breaking up a little bit this morning. We're just going to keep going here. I think it's an issue with the system that we're using, and it seems to be getting better here as we go along. So bear with us. I think it's going to get better. Next, we have up who, Jamie?
Well, we're going to talk to Jackie Baker right now. Jackie Baker is the person who does regardinghorses.com. It's her website. She has a blog. And, Jackie, I found your blog to be so appropriate, especially during the holidays, because that's when everybody seems to have some extra time. And your blog this month, tell everybody what it is. First of all, good morning.
Good morning. I struck a nerve this week with some topics I was covering on my blog, and it's just something I've been going through quite frequently lately that's been driving me nuts. And it's parents who don't know anything about horses, who have young daughters who are horse crazy, who come up to me and randomly invite themselves and their kids to come out and ride my horse. They don't know, they're not even people I know that well half the time. They just know that I have a horse because they've seen it on Facebook or something. And they say, hey, that's so cool, you have a horse. My daughter loves horses. We'll have to call you sometime so she can come out and ride yours. And I can think of at least five people who've said that to me in the last few months. And while I'm all about kids who are horse crazy, I've taught lessons. I will occasionally take people out to meet my horse. I love to, you know, help instill that passion in them and teach them how to be around horses, you know, properly and safely. I can't give pony rides on my 16-hand thoroughbred. You know, he may be great most of the time, but he's not a safe horse for kids or for beginners. And that's just something that parents don't seem to understand. A lot of people who don't know anything about horses seem to think that horses are like a dog that anybody can just own and go up and pet. They don't realize that these animals weigh 200 pounds, will step on you accidentally, can swing their heads into you and do all kinds of things, not even meaning to, you know, that could hurt them, and that they need to learn how to be around them first. And so I wrote about that on Monday just to say, hey, am I the only one who's had this happen to them? And I started getting comments like crazy on the blog, on Facebook. I had people emailing me, and it's all horse owners who have had the same experiences. You know, they've had people who have walked into their barn and opened up stall doors. They will go out onto their private property and have found people who've driven down the driveway and gone into the paddocks and pet the horses. You know, they, like me, a lot of them have had people ask to come out and ride. It's something that seems to happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I certainly understand, and of course, if you want to call and talk about this, 347-637-3238, you know, because this is something that I've dealt with forever as a horse owner, and Glenn and Jennifer, I'm sure you have too, is the people that go, oh my gosh, you have a horse. I want to come out and ride. Can I come out and ride sometime? And my standard answer is, sure. Call me, because it seems to be that most people never actually do. And you're right.
Yeah.
You said in there how much work it is. And it is so much work just to get my husband tacked up, you know, to ride with me. So not to mention somebody who's never been around a horse ever. And I teach lessons for a living. And so it's like, okay, why should you come out for free when everybody else has to pay? I don't even know you that well. There's a whole stacked order of how this is. I wouldn't invite myself to somebody's house to go try out their, you know, nude pool, whatever.
Yeah.
Where'd you come up with that?
Well,
you know, Jackie, I wanted to say too, you had more comments. The number of comments to that blog post was incredible.
Oh, I know. In such a short amount of time. Actually, my favorite comments on the post came from my non-horsey husband, who very rarely comments on my blog, but will actually get on once in a while, and it amazes me how much he actually listens to me when I ramble on about horses. And he actually made, from an outsider perspective, as someone who sees this happening but doesn't have the same vested interest, made a really, really good point. And he said that just as non-dog people aren't going to necessarily know the difference between a collie and a pit bull, the same for non-horsey people. They don't know all the details of horse riding, including the dangers and work it takes. What they do know is what they see, and that is you crazy or horse crazy people riding these magnificent animals and making them do whatever you want. Although you and I know those horses have minds of their own. And I had never really thought about that, you know, people see us horsewomen out there riding our horses and working with them and making it look so fun and so easy and so enjoyable. Of course they're going to think that they can just send their kids out and stick them on your horse.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of it's a protocol thing. So maybe and that's interesting that you, Jackie, as a passionate and educated horse person, never thought to look at it from the point of view of the outsider looking in that.
Yep.
Because I guess because those of us who are educated and passionate about horses, it's so ingrained, you don't realize how much somebody else doesn't know. And not only do they not know anything, what they do know is probably incorrect because they saw it in a Disney movie. Not that we don't love our Disney movies. But people who don't know anything about a horse don't realize the Disney movie is Disney-fied.
Yep.
Now,
I
want to jump in and say that we don't take this the wrong way. Anybody listening who's like, gosh, those people are jerks. They won't let anybody come ride their horses. It's not that at all. I love to have kids come out, and I love to show new people horse stuff. But you're right, the self-invitation of you mentioned it on your blog, and this happens a lot too. Oh, my daughter just loves horses. Can I send her out and hang out with you for a while? And the daughter's 3. Like, come on.
Babysitting service, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been the general consensus of all of the horse people who've emailed and commented that, no, we can't just let anybody come out and get on our horses, and it's not good for them to just show up without asking. However, we understand that we need to help educate non-horse people, especially if they have kids who are horse crazy, you know, and we want to help instill that love in these kids and help educate them as much as we can. That's very much been the general consensus, which is why I followed up yesterday with a post called, "So Your Daughter is Horse Crazy, Now What?" And I pulled together all of those thoughts. Here's what horse owners wish you knew about horses. They're not all Labrador retrievers. You know, here's how you can appropriately get your kid into riding horses in a way that's going to be safe and fun and help them learn all aspects of horsemanship.
So educate the parents, really, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep.
And so do you have a list of things, I think, on your blog that the best things to do to help these parents and to redirect them?
Yeah. I gave them some ideas for what to look for in a horse, specifically that you just can't stick a kid on any horse. You know, you need one that's the right size for your kid, that has the right personality, that's well-trained and consistent, that can handle inexperienced riders. My thoroughbred can't handle somebody bouncing around on his back. I'll never be able to use him for pony rides. You know, a horse that has exceptionally good ground manners, you know, teaching them that here are things you need to look for in a horse, and it's hard to find all of these criteria. And then also, you know, I just said that, you know, really the best way to get your kid involved in horses is to find a reputable program that does weekly riding lessons or summer day camps, that you can send your kid into that control setting, you know, that a facility or instructor who emphasizes safety, has quality lesson horses, is highly knowledgeable in the care and the management and handling of horses, you know, and just don't, you know, go to anybody who's put up a sign and said a horse that they're a horse trainer or lesson teacher, because anybody can do that. You know, take the time to interview the instructor, to go schedule a tour, to check out the facility and meet the horses. Even, you know, stick around and watch the instructor teach a lesson with kids. Get references. And, you know, the other big thing, if you do have horsewomen like us that you know, you can ask us anything you want. We will be happy to chat your ears off about horses, anything you want to know, you know, and we probably know the good lesson programs in our area. You know, we can tell you what kind of horses to look for. We can tell you how expensive it is and why you shouldn't just go buy your kid a pony and stick it in the backyard. You know, there's a wealth of information out there if you just ask.
Right, right. That's good advice.
You know, and I just was watching Facebook here, and the comments are now coming in on our page, too. And one of the funny ones, another question we get asked is horse people by non-horse people. This was Deanna who posted this. She said, we get people all the time to ask to ride, too. I just tell them that it's, she is not safe for beginners. They also ask if I am rich. They assume if you have horses, you are rich. What they don't realize is if you have horses, you're poor. So, but that's a question that we get all the time, too. It's kind of funny that you brought that up.
Yeah,
we need
it's
to teach
true.
The meaning of the phrase horse poor.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And I have said before, and maybe this is something you people can put in their back pocket, it's, can my kid ride your horse? Well, I know that I have a warm blood, and he is definitely not, you know, he's not kid friendly. I'm sorry. And so what I just say is, do you love your child? Yes, I love my child very much. Okay, then you will want to find a different horse because you don't want to put your kid, if you love it, up on my horse.
Yes.
Well, Jackie, we sure do appreciate you being on the show, and give everybody your blog name. It's go ahead.
RegardingHorses.com.
RegardingHorses.com, and it is fascinating, and you do update it very regularly, and we do appreciate you being a part of the show. And everybody go read Parents Who Invite Their Daughters Out to Ride My Horse. It's fantastic reading, and it'll strike a nerve, and all the comments will strike a nerve too. So go check that out, RegardingHorses.com. Thanks, Jackie.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jackie.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Talk to you soon.
All right, that was Jackie. This half hour is sponsored by Back on Track. You know, there's a company that we just love that offers products to improve lifestyle and mobility, and they have been the mainstay in European therapeutic products for many years. Plus, they are used and endorsed by many of the top dressage, eventing, and show jumping riders worldwide. We are, of course, talking about Back on Track products. If you are looking for a quality holiday gift for any horse lover that will truly benefit their horse or themselves, they have human products too, then look no further than Back on Track. You can look at their exercise boots, their bell boots, their saddle pads, their sheets, and the list goes on and on. Visit backontrackproducts.com today or give them a call at 888-758-9836. Well, our next guest is on the line, and we are excited to talk to Debbie Metcalf, who is from Stolen Horse International, netposse.com. She wrote to me, if you remember right, Jamie, we had a caller last, was it Friday? That was Bernice, who lost her Pasifino Maito, was stolen from her field, and she called in, and what an emotional half hour that was.
Heartbreaking.
But then Debbie wrote to me after that and said, you know, I'd love to come on and talk to people about how they can help prevent this from happening. And Debbie, welcome to the show. You're on the air. We appreciate you being here.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for sending that email the other day. I really appreciated getting it. It was, you know, it was heartfelt, and obviously you've put your life into Stolen Horse International to netposse.com. Tell everybody, just Reader's Digest version, what is netposse.com?
Netposse.com is basically the equivalent to the Missing Children's Network in the horse industry. When a horse is missing, no matter if it's stolen, lost on the trail, jumped the fence, we are here to try to help the victim find their horse. We also do tack and trailers as well, but the horses are our main area of concentration.
All right. So now, how long have you been doing this?
Unofficially, since our own horse was stolen in 1997. In 1997, we thought we were the only people in the world that this happened to, because we'd never heard about it. And we went about finding our own horse pretty much like Bernice is doing, except we didn't have anybody to help us. And we went to the sales ourselves. We kind of got in people's faces. We did a lot of things we shouldn't have done, took a lot of chances we shouldn't have taken. And then one day we found the Internet, and we were the first people on the Internet back in 1997 who utilized the Internet to form a search party to find their horse.
And did you have any luck?
We did.
Oh, really?
51 weeks later, yes. That's why
we took almost a year.
Yeah, 51 weeks later, we found our horse, Idaho. She had been sold 5 times in 6 months. Unfortunately, the last person who had her was a 10-year-old child in Tennessee, so the ending was bittersweet. We got to bring our horse home, but we took our horse away from a child who loved her very dearly, you know, which, you know, hurt us almost as much as it was, you know, happy to bring her home. So there was another victim. When horses are stolen, there's victims all along the line, and people don't understand that either.
Right, and, you know, because they get sold to somebody, and that somebody doesn't know they're buying a stolen horse in most cases.
Well, they do get sold. Hopefully they get sold to somebody. You know, I said that Idaho was sold five times in 6 months. Well, she was, you know, most of those times she was just sold to another trader, taken to another sale. And, you know, horses, they go into the trading system, they're just like pieces of, you know, merchandise. Yeah, they're not treated as animals. They're treated as pieces of merchandise, and they're just sold to whoever. They're loaded on a trailer, taken to another sale. Maybe another trader picks them up, puts them on their trailer, takes them to another sale. I mean, when we went to all these auctions, we were seeing the same horses in the same circles, but they were with different people. It is true.
You look at their butts, and you see 15 different sticker marks, you know, on their butts, and you know they've been through sale after sale. How many horses are on netposse.com right now?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. We're a small organization, and the website that we have right now, we do everything by hand. You know, we cut, we paste, and I haven't counted in a long time, but I think there's over 1,000 there.
Wow, that's a lot of horses. That's a lot of broken hearts. So what we wanted to have you on today.
That, by the way, is just a smidgen of what we actually get in the emails and by phone, because we do require people to file a report and submit information so that they certify that what they're telling us is true and give us facts so that we can check out the facts. And we don't just pass along emails, because we've had some unfortunate experiences with people not exactly telling the truth.
Yeah, I can imagine that too.
We try to do the background work to make sure that when we send out an alert that we've done the best that we can to certify that we're given correct information.
Well,
what?
Certainly Nat Posse is the place to go when something happens. I mean, I think you and I discussed the fact that there was a horse in Georgia that was stolen that actually was returned because of Nat Posse. So what you guys are doing works, and I'm so glad that you certify everything. You have to get police reports because that's the first thing people need to do is get a police report. Am I correct?
That is. If your horse is missing, the first thing you do is pick up the phone and call local police. Now, it depends on who's got jurisdiction on who you call first. Usually that's the sheriff's department because most people do live in the county. Sometimes it's the state police, and you know, a few times it's been city police. But whoever's got jurisdiction, you call them first. And the second phone call should be to us because there's so many things that we can be doing and we can direct the victim to be doing. And then we get work done while they're getting work done.
Now, how do you, so let's talk about what we really wanted to concentrate on this day before Thanksgiving is what can people do, one, to prevent their horses from being stolen, and two, are there things, you know, the new chips, things like that, that they can do to help get their horses back quicker?
Oh, that list is tremendous, but the first thing I want people to do is identify their horses. When Idaho was stolen, we found out real quick, the hard way, the importance of identification. And you said something the other day about paint horses, you know, why would anybody steal them? And I was listening to the radio, and I just kind of chuckled at that because paint horses, you know, the very thing that makes them so identifiable also makes them so hard to identify because they're all different. And if you've got a bunch of paint horses together and you don't have an actual picture of one, how do you identify one? So that's a good example of why you need some type of identification on a horse, like a visible ID. We like to see that. Or some type of proof of ownership, which would be a microchip. And I really like to see a combination of a visible ID and some type of something that traces back to the owner, like a microchip.
Okay, I have a question then.
Okay, go ahead.
I bought my horse, and he had a freeze brand from his previous owner. So if he comes up stolen, how can I get that freeze brand under my name, and what is the point of a freeze brand?
Okay.
Under the neck,
so
under the mane.
You know who put the freeze brand on the horse?
No clue.
And see, now here comes the problem with the freeze brand. I'm glad you brought this up. And this is one reason, you know, every ID has a good side and a bad side. And you've just brought up the bad side of the freeze brand. The freeze brand's hard to trace. I mean, there's so many registries in the United States where freeze brands are registered. Like, each state should have a registry, and then you have some states who register by counties. You can start there trying to find your freeze brand. Can you imagine how big that search is going to be? And what if they didn't
No.
Well.
And what if they didn't register the brand at all? Now, have you checked to see if the horse has a microchip?
No. I knew the previous owner, but I have no idea where the person is right now. They didn't get a microchip. It's like somebody came through the barn and freeze-branded every horse.
Well, I really don't know how you can go about registering that brand. Talk to your state. You're in Kentucky,
okay,
right?
No, I'm in Arizona.
You're in Arizona. Talk mm-hmm. to the brand inspector in Arizona and see if they can help you there, and tell them
okay.
it came with, and see what they'll say about that. And
okay.
maybe they can get it registered for you in Arizona since you don't know where it came from. But I would also suggest putting in a microchip so that you have some proof of ownership in the horse.
Okay.
And the problem with the microchip, though, is you can't see it.
Right.
So what we recommend with the microchip, if you've got a microchip, is at home to put a sign up that says your horses and equipment have permanent identification. Because if you can't see the microchip and you don't know it's there, you know, you need something that's telling people that we do have identification, pretty much what the brand is telling them just by seeing the brand.
Right.
So you put a sign up that says horses and equipment. You want to cover your equipment, too, because equipment theft is really up right now because of the recession. So you want to cover
yep.
those. And then when you travel with your horse, you know, what the third place that horses are taken from, you know what it is?
Where's no, the third
place?
I don't.
First place is your pasture. The second place
right,
is your barn.
Farm. Yep.
Where do you think the third place would be?
I have a guess. I have a guess. I think it's probably when your trailer is parked.
Well, it, that could be it. That could be it.
But
horse show?
Not it. Go ahead.
Horse events. Your trailer could be
horse
parked
show.
At a horse yeah. event. But at a horse event, like a horse show, like a rodeo, and horses have been taken right off of the side of the trailers at rodeos. You know, like
oh,
when
wow.
the horses, you know, are just not doing anything and you're off watching somebody else show their horse and people trust everybody and tie the horse to the side of the trailer and leave them there munching on their hay. They come back.
And nobody questions nobody questions somebody walking a horse around. So it's no, you know. It's, hey, Debbie, I wanted to say we have a couple of callers that would like to talk to you. Would you mind taking a couple of calls?
Sure.
Okay, we have Lynn from Texas up here first. Hi, Lynn, you're on the air with Debbie Metcalf of netposse.com.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Woo!
I love hearing that Texas accent.
and it's Texas by way of our Arizona, as a matter of fact. So, I was a horse trainer in Arizona for quite a while, but I know Debbie Metcalf, and I was so excited. Excited to see that she was on your board this morning. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Lynn. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I just wanted to share with y'all that Debbie is the most passionate and dedicated person, and her schedule of attending horse events to inform and educate horse owners is just, you know, it's what most of us can't even you know, imagine doing. But she is, as you've just figured out from your questions, there are answers that we don't even know the questions. And
yeah,
it is
right.
something that every horse owner just really should educate themselves. Debbie has great websites. And, man, you know, we love our horses.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, It is true, and, you know, thank God there are people like Debbie out there because, you know, you're the one doing this for the horse world. You're it, pretty much. I mean, and it works, and I think what people have to do more now is go over to your website. You have a mailing list, right?
We do. We have a couple of different ways you can get it, but we have one through Constant Contact, which is the best way because you get everything through that one. And you can sign up for that right on the homepage at netposse.com.
And
yeah,
I don't know what to look for. Go ahead,
it's
Jamie.
Important that everybody signs up, Glenn. I'm glad you mentioned that because those stolen horses, the hot off the wire, you know, she gets those out immediately. And you can start wherever you go. Maybe you've got a rodeo that weekend, or maybe you've got a 3-day event you're going to. You've got whatever you have coming up. You can go on that, you can go into each one of these things with the knowledge that Debbie's providing you to find and help horse people. And horse people have the best hearts in the world. And how awesome would it be to, on a regular basis, be able to help other horse people? So I completely encourage everybody to go sign up at netposse.com.
There was also some information I heard from Debbie that I think would be great for your listeners because I was completely unaware of it, and that's about the different types of microchips and readers that are out there. Debbie, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, once upon a time, you know, the microchip companies all wanted you to have microchips in your horses, but they all had their same readers, their own readers. But guess what? Nobody was buying microchips, so they all got together and decided we're going to have a universal microchip scanner. And then everything was fine for a while, and all the microchip scanners were the same on universal scanner. And then with the new thing that came in recently with the international code chip introduced, we're kind of having a problem again, and that we have the U.S. standard chip, and then we have the international chip. Now, people who travel outside of the United States, and I know some people may disagree with this, but I'm working with the people in the United States primarily. I'm working with the vets who microchip the small animals. And what microchip do you think they're using the most with the small animals? They're using the U.S. standard microchip. So what microchip do you think maybe you should have in your horse? The U.S. standard microchip, if you want your horse to be scanned. Because it takes, if we're going to switch over to the international code, it's going to take years to do that. And I'm not sure that's really going to happen yet. So if you want your horse to be scanned, make sure you get the right chip in it for the need for your horse. If you're going out of the United States, you might need two. But if your horse stays in the United States, you may only need the U.S. standard chip versus the international chip, because the international chip is on a 134 code, and that code is not read by most of the U.S. standard scanners. Am I getting to the point here? I get so, there's so much of
yes.
that cram into
Absolutely.
A little bit. But the new scanners, however, this is wonderful because all the new scanners scan them all. But,
nice.
You know, it's a transition period for anything when you do go to something new. And it takes not months, not years, but, gosh, it took almost a decade before to get on the same plan. So, you know, if I had to put a microchip in my horse today, it's going to be the U.S. standard chip. You know, my horse stays
okay.
in my backyard. God help me, it's going to stay there. I'd lose another one, but.
That's great. Lynn, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We appreciate it, and I hope you have your animals protected.
Thank you, Lynn.
And let's talk to, oops, I hung up on somebody. Sonny, call back. I hung up on you by accident. Well, Debbie, again, let's reiterate, what is your website and where can people find you?
It is www.netposse.com, or they can just type in Stolen Horse International in the browser, and we'll come up. We're number one on the Internet. And, you know, we've been working at this for a long time, and the information that we gather, it's not out of a book. This information comes from a personal experience with our own theft, working with victims, you know, on a day-to-day basis, what I hear from people around the country when I travel. Like Lynn said, I have a travel schedule that's unreal sometimes. And the thing about Stolen Horse International people may not understand is this is a total volunteer organization, even me.
Really?
Nobody gets paid. And all the money, we're totally funded by donations, and all the money goes 100% to the organization. There's no big paychecks going to anybody.
Well, did you say to me that you're having a fundraiser right now? Can people donate right on your website?
Oh, yes, they can. They can go right to the homepage, and they can. This is exciting because we've had a lot of people donate things to the eBay auction. If they can bid on it, it's a lot of fun. But they can go to the homepage, they can click on the eBay auction link, and we've got all the products that we're listing, and we're adding daily because, you know, it's a big, you know, we do everything cut and paste, so it takes us a while to get it there. But we've got so many nice things, and they can go in there and kind of look at what they want, and we've got the eBay numbers right there, and then they can click on it and go right and bid. And we've got cabins, we've got road to the horse tickets. You know,
oh, that's good. I want those. I'll be buying those. Well, thank you, Debbie. We have to run here. We're definitely going to have you back on. I don't think we gave Debbie enough time today, to be honest. And we're definitely going to have you back on. And good luck with your mission. Good luck to everybody. And for Bernice, we're still thinking about you. And have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I'd love to come back because we haven't even scratched the surface yet.
We're going to get you back for a whole, you know, maybe we'll make her the only guest that day. I think it's that important, Jamie.
Yeah, I think so, too. I agree. So make sure you're ready because we're going to pick your brain to pieces. I've
Bye,
got
Debbie.
More questions.
All right. Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right, that was Debbie Metcalf from netposse.com. And, boy, you know, I wish we weren't so backed up today because we have callers coming in to talk to her and things. We'll continue to take your calls today. But next up, we're going to have the news. And after the news, we have Horse Health Weekly with thehorse.com. So here is Samantha Clark with the news for today.
I'm Samantha Clark with your Horse Radio Network news for Horses in the Morning. It's Wednesday, the 24th of November. More news this morning from the Asian Games, this time from the show jumping department. Saudi Arabia continues to impress and put up a strong performance to take the team gold, finishing on a score of just 4 faults. It was a tight run to the line for the team silver. Both Hong Kong and the United Arab Emirates were on 11 faults after the second round and so had to jump off to decide the medals. And in the end, the UAE team took silver with 5 faults, while Hong Kong faltered slightly under the pressure and had to settle for bronze with 24. Riders and horses from 12 nations are among the 32 combinations who will start in the individual jumping competition, which gets underway today. Also, some more news from the Stuttgart Masters in Germany. WEG individual gold medal eventer Michael Young won the indoor eventing derby for the 4th year in a row and the 5th time in total. He followed that with 2 dressage wins, which gave him the iWest Cup, the equivalent to a regional championship, but saved the best for last. On the Saturday night in the big indoor arena in front of a huge, appreciative and gobsmacked audience, Young beat the Belgian Philippe Lejeune, reigning WEG individual show jumping gold medalist in the speed class, by almost a second and a half to win. American Lauren Hoff took 3rd place on her mare, Available Versace. Boyd Excel, Australia's WEG driving gold medal superstar, took the indoor driving competition honours, and Meredith Michaels Bierbaum, US-born German show jumper, drove away in her 3rd Mercedes from the show's sponsors. Olympic event rider and now course designer Ian Stark will be even busier next summer. Already responsible for the extremely popular Richland Park and Galway Downs events over here in the States, it has now been announced that Ian will be designing courses for a brand new international event in Scotland next July. Featuring 2- and 3-star CICs as well as the established novice classes, the International Horse Trials will take place at the 6,500 acres Hopetoun House Estate on the banks of the Firth of Forth near Edinburgh. Event director Stuart Bunteen described the location as magnificent, and you can be sure that your trusty HRN reporter will do her best to be there to bring you the latest news directly from the scene. Until then, though, I will be with you every day this week bringing you Horse Radio Network news. I am Samantha Clark, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Welcome back. I think Jamie is back with us. I think she got booted. Are you
I'm
there,
right
Jamie?
Here.
Okay, you were on mute, so that was that was part of the problem.
Okay, I was here. Well, let's see, Glenna, are we going to take some of these callers, or are we going to go straight to the horse?
I think we actually better get to the horse. They're on the line here, so why don't you introduce them and callers, if you have a chance, hang on. We're going to be talking to the horse here for 10, 15 minutes, or give us a call back in 10 or 15 minutes. We'd love to talk to you. We're so packed full of guests today.
I know. Well, we're going to talk to Christy from The Horse and Dr. Jones. They come in every week and do a Horse Health Weekly segment. And, you know, let's go ahead and say hello to them. But I'm going to talk today a little bit about cold weather care and management, simply because, man, it is Thanksgiving. That means Christmas is around the corner. And most of our listeners probably have white Christmases and snow and weather and everything like that. So we want to talk to them about cold weather care and management and find out exactly what we need to do. So let's see. Are you guys on the line?
I'm here.
I'm here,
Christy.
All right, fantastic, you guys. So let's get started.
All right. Well, thank you for giving us the time to talk about this topic today. It's a real important one. As you said, it's been quite timely, and we're actually doing a cover story on that in the magazine in January. But we had a number of questions. We had an Ask the Vet Live event last week on healthy barns and stalls. You may have remembered that we mentioned that on the show. And we had a ton of questions, even though it was kind of off topic, about you know, what horses, what kind of shelter horses really need in the wintertime and blanketing and things like that. So I'd like to touch on that first and ask Aaron to tell us a little bit about what kind of shelter a horse really needs in the winter. And moving to Florida is not an option for this question, although a lot of people do that.
You took my answer away. What am I supposed to say now?
Or Arizona.
Anyway, the type of shelter would be any kind of wind block and a covering over top that would keep the moisture off of them. If they're wet and windy, they can definitely get chilled. But if they have a wind block, and it could just be a line of trees and the tree branches above as they're covering, or it could be a three-sided lean-to. It could be as simple as those type things, or you can get into the big fancy barns and have closed doors, et cetera, et cetera. That's a simple.
Now, if you are in that big fancy barn with the closed doors, what's important to keep the horses healthy while they're shut up?
The big thing is the ventilation. Those tend to be the biggest problems we have in the northern barns is improper ventilation because you want to keep it nice and tight to keep everything warm, keep the water buckets from freezing, keep the water pipes from freezing, and keep yourself from freezing as well as the horses. But if there's a good ventilation draft going out through the ceiling, if it's well built in that respect, is good. Keeping the dust down by sweeping, keeping the shaving choice of beddings and shavings down, the dust in that is good. Hay that's very dusty is another source of the ventilation problems there, and that all is, you know, considered in the enclosed environment. We talked last week about storing the hay in these barns because you don't want to go outside and freeze, but that's really a source of combustion and fire, even in the cold weather. So you don't want to store all your hay in the barn. You may want to put one bale in there for the next morning or the next evening's feed, but really not much more than what you just need for feeding time.
Very good. And I believe Dr. May mentioned last week during our session, you know, when we talk about real estate, the most important factor is location, location, location. And Dr. May, who does a lot of respiratory research up at Michigan State, says that for when you're talking about barns, the phrase is ventilation, ventilation, ventilation. And we talked a little bit about ventilation in the aisleways versus in the stalls themselves.
Yeah, she said definitely, yeah, her biggest thing was do not manage your barn from your aisleways. Get in the stalls. See what your problems are there. See how the horses are living in that in direct environment. You may have a great breeze going down the aisleway, but it's not affecting the stalls at all.
Fair enough, fair enough. And one other thing she mentioned that I thought was a good point to mention that a lot of people may not think about, especially when your barn is shut up, but say you've got a tractor hooked up to your spreader and you're driving it down the center aisleway and pitching things into that, to not leave the tractor running and having all those fumes collecting in that closed-up
yeah.
barn. I thought that was an excellent point.
And she did mention the veterinarians. She did mention the veterinarians not letting them run their trucks in there too, as well as the farriers.
Right.
So don't just think of the manure spreaders. It's also the people coming and going, your feed delivery gentlemen or women, and hay delivery.
Oh, absolutely. That's got to be one of the most important things. I mean, you got to think what is bad for you is definitely going to be bad for your horse. They don't have the choice. They don't have a choice to go and stick their head out the window, possibly. They don't have a choice to leave the barn, and they're sitting there breathing in that carbon monoxide. So I think that's a very good point. Don't leave your gators, your tractors, your equipment running inside the barn.
Right, because who wants to breathe that all the time?
Yeah.
The other point she brought up, speaking of gas-powered items, is those blowers. I have never been a fan of the blowers because as you see the big cloud of dust coming out at the end of the barn, you know that's not healthy going into the stalls where the horse are standing. And it's not healthy for the person running the blowers as well. Blowers were made for leaves and outdoors, not in confined environments like a barn aisleway.
Does it help at all to mist your barn aisle at all with water before you sweep or blow?
I wouldn't say before you sweep because it would be easier to sweep without misting, but before you blow, it still doesn't make a difference. You still got dust
okay.
on the side of the walls. It really does not make a difference, so no.
All right, so don't be lazy. Put your blower away, put your gloves on, and get the broom out.
And it's good exercise, and it'll definitely warm you up, that's for sure. The other thing, too, is there's the mechanized items like the billy goat that can suck up the dust and the dirt, too.
Yeah.
There you go. I like the double reward of cleaning up the dust and getting warm and burning calories.
There you go. Speaking of calorie requirements, we like to talk a little bit about the elevated calorie requirement that horses may need to stay warm in a very, very cold winter. Again, if they're not being used, your regular feed and hay is going to be enough calorie requirements for them. You also have to think about, are they diseased? Are they aged? Are they young? So all that comes into play with how much grain and hay you're giving them. The hay is a good fiber source for them. It helps their fermentation. It helps utilize energy. They utilize more energy off of it. The grain is actually for your high-energy athletes. If you can think of it, compare it to a triathlete in the human world, they're definitely going to load up in carbs and those types of meals before they do a long race or while they're training heavily. And we would normally not do that if we're just going to work every day. So if you think about your horse who's being trained still 5 to 7 days a week, they're going to be needing extra grain added to their diet. For those that are just going out, hanging out in the pasture, you know, having a nice day like we do, going to work, and it's not a lot of energy they're expending, they could probably stay on the same diet as long as they're not aged, young, or diseased. And those will definitely require a little bit more caloric intakes.
Very good. And let's talk a little bit about water as well, because water is very important to help reduce colic, of course. And the horses often don't drink as much in the winter. Why is that?
I don't have the definite answer of the horses not drinking as much in the winter as we would like to hear, but our suspicions and theories are is that they're trying to consolidate their warmth, and if you don't have water that's a little bit on the warmer side, and I don't mean it has to be, you know, 80 degrees because that would be the worst-case scenario. Horses wouldn't drink that, but if you don't have fresh offering of water, they will decrease their intake because they're primarily trying to conserve, you know, their heat energy. But water intake is very important in horses, so you need to make sure that you're busting the ice open once or twice a day, depending on where they're located. If it's in the pasture and you're in sub-below temperatures and your heater's not working, you've got to make sure that they have access to the water 24/7. Your bucket's
obviously inside.
If you don't have a heater for your buckets, they need to have that available. The automatic waterers, again, we talked about them last week. They're not really my friend. I find them to be my enemy because you really can't monitor how much they're drinking, and you get into some problems with horses having some colic issues with not enough water being brought in to help with the fermentation of the hay and the grass that they're possibly eating.
Okay, let me interrupt. I have a question about that because, to me, I feel like, you know, frozen buckets aside, that horses don't drink as much on the cooler days simply because they're not as thirsty and it's not as hot. So what I do sometimes, and it sounds like there's a lot of people who probably, you know, do this as well, and I want your opinion on it, is supplementing electrolytes in the feed, not in the buckets because sometimes they won't, my horse won't touch a bucket with an electrolyte in it, but do you recommend supplementing electrolytes in their feed to just add to their water intake?
It has not been proven to do that, but I always tell my clients to do it. I think that that's very pertinent for them to have that extra electrolyte intake. I compare it to the salty popcorn at a movie theater. Doesn't it make you go back and get another Coke?
Yes.
So it's the same idea, is if they could add some minerals or salt to their normal daily feed, I believe that it helps with the water intake, but it's not been proven.
Really? Never?
No.
Well, we're going to make $1 million on that study.
They do use it in the endurance riding. They do use the paste, and they feel that that has made a big difference with the endurance trail riding horses, is they'll paste them on their breaks to encourage them to drink water, and they do seem to work well there. So, I mean, that would be the primary area to do a study and say, yeah, they definitely increase their water intake. And then some people might argue, well, they're decreasing their water amount in their body, so thus they are going to take it in. So there's two sides to that story.
Sure. We're right. Everybody else is wrong.
I don't think it's a bad thing. The only thing it's going to hurt is the pocketbook. So I really encourage it.
Yeah, it's cheap enough. We can do it. $7
yeah.
or whatever. Get the cheap one. Who cares? But, yeah, I definitely do that, and I encourage everybody to do that as well. I had no idea that there was no background to that at all.
Well, if it's only hurting your pocket by $7 or $8, that's about the same amount as you pay for that vat of Coke at the theater anyway, right?
The vat is exactly it.
Exactly.
Now, one area, back to the winter care and water a little bit, one area where there is some research is on water temperature and how much horses will drink. Is that correct?
Yes. And, it's the warmer temperature water they will not touch. They will touch stuff that's just a little bit over freezing. So you're looking at, what, 32 degrees is your freezing. So anything 35 degrees and more that's melted there, they'll still go ahead and drink. They're also, you know, proven that if they drink that cold water, the old wives' tale was they're going to colic. That's not true at all, especially if you bring them in from a long hack that you've been out or a good trail ride. Bring them back in. You don't want them to drink out of that icy bucket. It's okay. Colic has not been proven to be right after drinking very cold water and being worked heavily.
So just let them drink whenever, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, just like us, we should have, and we never do, 8 glasses of water a day minimum. And that's minimum. People don't realize that that's a minimum for humans. We should have a heck of a lot more than that just to help all the toxins flood through your bodies and get everything going just right. It also speeds up your metabolism.
Okay.
Win-win.
Yeah. Get skinny, drinking water. Woohoo!
Now, I thought I remembered, didn't Dr. McDonald at New Bolton or somebody do some work on, like, if you offered horses, barely above freezing water and water that was a little bit warmer, they would tend to prefer the colder water, but if you only gave them the water that was a little bit warmer, they would actually drink more than if only the cold were available?
She did, and I don't remember the exact temperature that she had that at, but yes, the median temperature being somewhere less than your 70-degree, 75-degree hot water and your 32-degree frozen water was perfect. So, again, I think the biggest concern is clients are concerned about busting out the buckets and leaving a hole for the horse to put their nose through, and that's not good enough for the horse. They may not drink it. They still will. Like you said, it's going to be one of the preferences they'll have.
Very good.
Gosh, who's going to make sure that they have 72-degree water for their horse? Not me.
Yeah, you don't have to. You know, it's comfortable with your hand in there. How's that?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Well, the last topic I had on my list was winter hoof care. If you're perhaps if you're riding, you might need to worry about ice balls in their feet or things like that, or maybe look into the rim pads or the snow pads. What's your thoughts on winter hoof care if you're riding?
Oh, yeah, you definitely have to worry about the snowballs in the feet. I remember many days having to stop in the middle of my trail ride, stop and pick them out halfway through the trail ride because they got pretty icy as we went along in the snowy grounds. The horses, when I took their shoes off, tended to have fewer of those problems. Also, it toughened up their feet, which, you know, that's the biggest complaint by farriers up north is that they have to sharpen their knives from paring out the sole because they are pretty tough when they're on those kind of grounds. But, you know, there's a lot of different techniques people have done as minimal as baby oil in the bottom of the feet to help slick out the ice balls that form to as much as doing the full pads on the bottom of the feet so that they can avoid that.
What about Pam? I have heard that if you spray Pam in the bottom of their feet that it'll keep the ice from forming. Is that true?
I think it's the same as the baby oil idea. It would probably work for a short while, but I've never heard of that and I've never tried it, so that would be a new one on me.
They told me when I lived in Ohio, just take some Pam and spray it in the bottom of your horse's foot. I'm so gullible that they probably were messing with me. I'm like, okay, that's a great idea.
Well, you know, I have a very off-the-cuff story, not a horse-related story on that. We used to do what we call Pam dancing at the school for just at parties at the different college floors that were made of wood, and we had the music going and a little bit of imbibing of alcoholic beverages. We'd spray Pam on the floor and get in your socks, and it was a pretty nice dance floor. But so I can see how it possibly worked on the bottom of the horse's feet.
absolutely. Okay, well, I'm going to keep that in my back pocket for next time it snows in Phoenix. Well, you guys, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure having you guys on, and will both of you guys be here next week as well?
Yes, I will. This is Erin. I certainly will be here.
Okay,
yes,
well, good.
We will
good.
Be here, we actually have another guest possibly coming on with us to talk about parasites and deworming.
Okay, perfect. Well, that'll be next week, so everybody tune in then. I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you so much for being a part of Horses in the Morning and providing such awesome information.
Well, thanks so much for having us, and I'm definitely going to keep that Pam on the floor comment in mind for my next party.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Okay, bye-bye. Gosh,
thanks
you
so
learn
much.
So much here on Horses in the Morning, you know? it's constant. So it's always an educational moment. And Pam on your dance floor is certainly where you can go with that. So
and I left you. I'm there. I left you go because you were having such a good time talking about all that winter stuff. And I thought, oh, this Jamie's the perfect one to talk about winter stuff. The one that lives in Arizona and hates it. So,
but you know what? I lived with it too, and I remember the barn that I worked at in Ohio. One of the first barns I worked at, they closed up their barn all the time. They used blowers. They kept their gators going around, and they had so many health problems at that facility. And it was my responsibility as the rider to say, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. I was the trainer at the barn, and they ended up firing me because they eventually were like, we're tired of you telling us all this stuff to do. This is how we do it. I'm like, well, that's why you have 14 horses that are chronic colicers, and you have this lame horse and this horse with a respiratory problem. So it's true. It actually does happen up there. So this is really good information, I think, that we are able to provide to people. So thanks to the folks at thehorse.com.
Yes, we appreciate them being part of the show. You know, this half hour is sponsored by Back on Track. Back on Track is a great company run by one of the nicest guys in the horse world. You know, Back on Track for quality products that benefit your horse. They also have products that benefit you. Top riders from many disciplines use Back on Track's products to warm up their horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strain or injury. More importantly, they use the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries. That is what makes Back on Track's products so unique. Back on Track's product's genuine aim is to contribute towards your horse's well-being and good health in the easiest, most comfortable, and pleasant way. Learn about Back on Track products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, we want to remind you to give us a call. We still have a little bit of time. If you tried to call in earlier or sat on hold, we apologize. You can call us back right now. We have time before 10:30 here Eastern, 347-637-3238. And remember, everybody that calls today is going to be qualified for that gift pack from TechNiche, the world's leading manufacturer of cooling and warming products. And we would also, did we announce that earlier in the show? I don't remember, Jamie. Did we announce that they can also post on Facebook their photo of the day? Did we talk about that?
Oh, no, I don't think we did. You know, seeing that it's Thanksgiving and we want your calls and we want your Facebook posts, we want you to be a part of Horses in the Morning. And so I've kind of created, Glenn and I have created an assignment for everybody out there listening that has their you know, camera phones ready, whatever you want to do. What we want to see is we want you to post a picture of what you're thankful for. Just take a picture of what you're thankful for and let us see it. It can be anything, obviously, that's not dirty. it can be, you know, like a dirty pony. It just, you know what I mean. Now I'm not going any further with that. But yes, post a picture of what you're thankful for. It's Photojournalist Day. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Is it tomorrow? Today's Wednesday, right? Gosh, I am so out of whack.
Well, you know, we have a couple of callers that Jennifer's setting up on the line here, but I wanted to ask you, you told me, you teased me a little bit earlier. By the way, to follow up your thought, I could post a picture of, like, my loving dear wife, and that would qualify as something I'm thankful for?
Yes, you could post a picture of your spouse. You can post a picture of, I know you're going to go with, you're going to post a picture of that little kitty cat in your house because that's a pretty awesome cat.
I don't, you know what? There are some times that I am not so thankful for my kitty cat. Hey, we got a caller here I want to take, Jamie. This is Wendy from, I think, Norco, California. Hi, Wendy, you're on the air.
Yes, Gary. Hi, I felt invited to call in when I didn't expect you to answer my Facebook comment and the picture. I heard you talking about horse health and how you keep horses in the wintertime. We don't have snow. We barely have rain. And
you guys don't
out
have
here
to worry about it much. You're just like warm and toasty and sunning yourself all winter long and making us really mad.
It's awesome.
Some people do that. Well, I'm in sweatshirts and it's in the 30s out there. But I've always believed that if some people blanket, but you need to take the blanket off because otherwise they if the horse begins to sweat, then they can get a respiratory infection. So I've always felt if they're in a three-sided stall, something to get in, and if you let the horse acclimate. So out here, our vet has felt that cold was if there's icicles, which we don't have, and so I just let my horse acclimate. They don't get the real heavy coat like they do back east, just a thicker coat, and so I have never used a blanket. I let him acclimate. And that just has always seemed to make a lot of common sense, and it's simple, and he's safe. I don't have to mess with a blanket, and you let the horse just be what it would be in the normally, and they do get used to it. And,
Wendy, I'm so jealous of you right now because I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I've already had to clip my horse twice because he is like a Fellwell pony. He grows a coat. And he's 16'3", okay? He's huge, and it makes him look like this little fat pony because his hair is so thick. And the problem that I have is he sweats all day long if I don't have him clipped, and then at night he gets cold. So it's like, do I let him sweat and then get cold at night? So what I've had to do is I've had to just clip him because I can't even ride him for more than 5 minutes without him getting drenched because he's got so much hair, and then he sweats, and then it's like this vicious cycle. So I'm jealous of you that your horses are acclimated to the milder winter climate. My horse certainly is not, and I unfortunately have to blanket him because I shaved all his hair off because he was sweating when I was riding him, and it's a constant nightmare. So I'm very jealous of you, Wendy, and you're lucky.
Oh, yes, I am. But then what feels like common sense from years ago always seemed to make a lot of sense, and it just sort of sticks, and it works very well for me. Some people around here do blanket, but I thought, why? Let the horse be what it's going to be or what it would do naturally. It
well,
seems
don't
a lot
hate
safer
the,
and simpler.
Don't hate the blanketers that live out there.
No.
Can't help it.
You're teasing. Yeah, you're teasing. You guys are good at that. But it's...
Not me.
No, I don't hate the blanketers. No, some of my best friends are blanketers.
Thank you, Wendy. Hey, Wendy, happy Thanksgiving out there in beautiful Norco, California.
Thank you. I'll think of you while I'm on my horse.
Yeah, I hate you, Wendy.
Guys, rub it in. I
we'll
love
you,
that
Wendy.
She said. I love that she said some of my best friends are blanketers. Like I, you know, I don't hate them forever. But those of us who blanket that live in warm weather climates, we hear it from other boarders at facilities. I mean, these we've got a string of like natural horsemanship people at the first barn I boarded at in Arizona, and oh my gosh, the fact that I put shoes on my horse and the fact that my horse was blanketed and clipped was just the worst thing ever. I'm like, this horse jumps 4 foot fences and has a winter coat that would kill him in this weather. And so you have to understand and you have to think about the background before you hate the blanketer. Don't hate the blanketer. Sorry, I get a little carried away because I got attacked in Phoenix for blanketing my horse.
Well, we have another caller. You're going to love this. We have another caller from California. We have Emily. Hi, Emily. You're on the air.
Hello, Glenn and Jamie. How are you guys this morning?
Okay.
Hey,
do you hate blanketers? Do you hate us blanketers?
I don't hate anybody that has a horse because I don't have a horse, so I am just jealous of all of you.
Oh, well. You know, talk to Jackie Baker, she'll just tell you to come out and ride hers anytime.
All right. There you go. I lease a horse. I have a half lease on a horse, and he's fantastic, and it's just the best thing ever. I had no idea until about 2 years ago that you could even do such a thing.
That's cool.
Yeah,
well, what kind of horse
great,
do you lease?
He's a Tennessee Walker.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you hear our...
Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
Did you hear it? Yeah.
I did, yeah. He's beautiful. What a great... I loved listening to it, because you don't hear a lot about Tennessee Walkers.
Well, you know, and so, you know, we've had some controversy, obviously, in the Tennessee Walker world and,
right.
You know, that gated world. And, you know, we don't really get into a whole lot of controversy here on the show. But, you know, when I met him and we actually talked for a while before I had him on the air, he just seemed so level-headed and like he really got that you don't need to go crazy to have a beautiful moving horse. Now let me ask you, have you been listening to the show since the beginning?
I haven't. I have such a hard time getting up in time to do that, you guys.
Listen, I am in your time zone half of the year, so I totally understand. Glenn is a slave driver. We need to make this show at noon Eastern.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be morning here in the East. We'd have to change the name it to Horses in the Afternoon, you know?
I love it. Horses in the PM. I think we should change it.
Well, Emily, we certainly appreciate you listening in. Do you have any plans with your leased horse on Thanksgiving?
I have him today and Friday. So, and unfortunately, he's got a little boo-boo right now, so I'm not riding this week. But I'm going to give him some love, and he loves to get scratched on his withers. That makes him really happy, so he'll get extra of those this week.
Do you have a horse husband or a significant other?
I do. I have a boyfriend, and you know what? If it wasn't for him, and he's not... he's never been horsey, but if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even have this lease. It's the most amazing thing because we went out trail riding. You know, you rent those trail horses, and I always tell them, I don't want to do that because those horses are just, you know, they're not really that happy sometimes, and it's kind of sad to just follow somebody around. And he said, let's just go. It'll be fun. And we went, and when we were done, this woman comes up on this beautiful horse and says, would you like that? Are you thinking about leasing a horse? I want to lease this horse out. And I was like, oh, I could never do such a thing. Oh, I don't know anything about horses. And I've always loved horses, and that's why we were there. I just was obsessed as a kid, but living in the suburbs, my parents didn't know what to do with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her number, and we were walking away, and he was like, you're going to do this. And I was like, I don't know what to do, you know. He was like, no, you're going to figure it out, and you're going to do it no matter what. We're going to do this.
Good
so we did,
him.
And it's been the best thing ever. And he comes out with me every once in a while, and I ride on the trail, and he walks with me. So,
well, I want Emily, I just want to remind you before this Thanksgiving that us horse husbands and horse boyfriends like to be scratched between the withers, too.
I'll keep that in mind.
Too much
Happy
information.
Happy Thanksgiving, Emily.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so back to our thankful, you know, send us a photo of what you're thankful for. I would not like a photo of Glenn's withers being scratched on Facebook, okay? So please. No, send us a picture, post it on Facebook. This is how you can win today's prize. Let us know. Just post a picture of what you're thankful for, and we really appreciate it, and you may be the winner.
Hey, Jamie, I want to take a minute here to be serious. You know, I am the founder and owner of the Horse Radio Network. And we started 2 years ago with no listeners, no sponsors, nothing. It was just, as we talked about on this show, it was just Helene and I just having a good time chatting. Well, I want to take this Thanksgiving, this opportunity right now on the show to thank all of our sponsors who have come on board. Most of them have come on board, you know, a long time ago. Almost all of them have stayed through the 2 years and have increased their sponsorship over that period of time. I know many of them listen to the show. So I just want to thank all of our sponsors for all the shows here on the Horse Radio Network. Without you, we couldn't do this. And now you're getting to hear the results, and we're finally, it gives me goosebumps being able to take callers, too, and be able to talk to our listeners for the first time. I want to thank Back on Track USA, Charles Owen, Eco Gold out of Canada, EquestrianCollections.com, and all our friends over there, Easy Signs Online, FeedXL out of Australia, Freedom Health and Succeed, all of our friends there. We've become good friends with all of them over there at Freedom Health. Kentucky Performance Products, Karen, the maker of Beaker's Supplement Microphage. Thank you, Karen. They listen every morning. They post it on they play it in the office there at Kentucky Performance Products. Omega Alpha Equine, they're a delight to work with up there from Canada. Pfizer Animal Health, Professional's Choice Sports Medicine Boots. Professional's Choice out of California. They sponsor a couple of our shows. And last but not least, Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. We appreciate Uncle Jimmy advertising over on the Stable Scoop show. I thought, what a better way to end today's show than to give everybody the thought of Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls.
Yeah,
and
that's
you can
nice.
Find them at Uncle Jimmy's Products. Well, this has been a very fast-paced show. Jennifer, you were hopping today. Are you still on there, or are you just over there in a meltdown?
I've worn my button-pressing fingers to the bone.
I apologize to Sonia. I think we cut her off there once, and that was because you know, we were all playing with the buttons at the same time, and we'll learn to do that. We'll learn not to do that again.
Sorry. But we want to talk again to them. We want everybody to call back in because apparently to talk to Debbie Metcalf from Stolen Horse International is a hot button issue. And, I mean, I certainly would like to do everything in the world to take care of my horse and prevent theft. So we're going to have her back on again and take all of your calls. And there's so many people that have lost horses and recovered them. And we want to hear those success stories,
Jennifer,
as well.
Yeah.
So
can you do that? Could you arrange that, Jennifer, in the next couple of weeks? And let's get her on by herself so there's nobody else the entire hour.
Okay.
And you know, she just wrote on our Facebook page, too, that she would be happy to come back. And I have to end on this. On Facebook, Jackie Baker, who was on earlier in the show, wrote on there and said, I'm thankful for these two, for putting up with me for a week of WAG, fun visits, riding lessons, including me on this awesome radio show, and for being all around great friends. And she put a picture of Jennifer and I up there. So,
aww.
Thank you,
give
Jackie. We love
box.
You too. Happy
That's
Thanksgiving,
too
everybody. Be sure to listen tomorrow. Boy, she knows how to get what she wants on with me.
She wants the
sure
prize for the day.
Be sure to listen tomorrow as we have the very special Marianne Kennedy. We're going to play a lot of music. It's a terrific show. If you don't get to hear it live at 9 a.m. Eastern, listen to it later in the day. It'll be posted on our website at Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, too. That'll probably actually be a better quality to listen to. So if you just go right to Horses in the Morning and listen to the archived version, I'll have that up at the same time. So listen to that. It was a lot of fun. You're going to love her music. And be sure to listen to all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, and especially the Western Radio Show at westernradioshow.com. What Alan spoke about earlier in the day. And, of course, we've been talking about Facebook all morning, and you can listen to us on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Awesome. Well, if you always listen to the recorded version, you can listen on our website, iTunes. You never need to miss an episode. And we'll be back on Friday with full bellies. We'll be sleepy. I will be gearing up to head out shopping. And, Glenn, before I go, I have to tell you what I'm doing immediately following this radio show.
Okay, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Maybe some help.
Scratching Chad, are you scratching Chad's withers?
I wish, but no, I am actually being at the in-laws' house. The YMCA is down the street. This is a very small town, Norman, Oklahoma, and I have been invited. Chad's sister is a aerobics instructor at the YMCA, and I am going to be going to do my first Zumba class right
what
now.
What the heck is Zumba?
Exactly. Have you seen the infomercial, Jennifer, for Zumba?
I have not.
No.
Okay.
No.
You need to Google it because you're going to laugh when you see the stuff I'm going to be doing today. Zumba is like, it's a combination of like hip-hop dancing, salsa dancing, and the waltz. I mean, it's like this whole, but all in an aerobic class form. And
are you going to be wearing leg warmers?
You know, if I can find them, I totally will.
Why are you cackling in the background?
I want a video.
Well, I may not provide videos because it'll be too embarrassing, but I'll send you guys some pictures from the Zumba class that I'm heading off to in moments. So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jamie. All the best to you and your husband and his family out there in Norman, Oklahoma.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. And we'll talk very soon. So say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great holiday and give your horse an extra carrot for us tomorrow.